Muslim-Christian dialogue is back under the spotlight again after 138 senior Muslim scholars from across the globe signed a joint declaration to Pope Benedict and to other Christian leaders proposing increased cooperation in order to promote peace in the world. The letter, made public last week to coincide with the end of Ramadan, stresses the shared beliefs of both Muslims and Christians in one God, saying this must form the basis for greater cooperation and efforts to diffuse current tensions and promote justice and peace. The lengthy letter quotes extensively from both the Bible and the Quran, urging believers to live up to their shared principles of love of God and love of neighbour. Though it's not the first initiative of this kind, the document marks a historic achievement in terms of Islamic unity, being signed by both Sunnis and Shiites under the auspices of a non-governmental Islamic institute in Amman, Jordan. Here in the Vatican, the head of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue, Cardinal Jean-Louis Torrent, welcomed the letter as an interesting and encouraging initiative.
I should say that this is a document in a way new, because it comes from the Shiite and the Sunnite Muslims. It's a non-polemical document with numerous quotations from the Old and the New Testament. And it is a kind of a meditation about love of God and the love of our neighbor. I think the letter shares three convictions that Christians and Muslims have in common. The first is God is unique. The second conviction is God loves us, and so we must love him. And the third conviction, God calls us to love our neighbor. So it's a very challenging letter in that sense, that it shows that goodwill and dialogue are capable to overcome all the prejudices we have.
Cardinal Jean-Louis Torrent, the head of the Vatican's Council for Interreligious Dialogue. Other Christian leaders, meanwhile, have also reacted positively to the letter. In England, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. Rowan Williams, welcomed it as a clear reaffirmation of the potential for developing existing dialogue and common action between Christians and Muslims, as well as other faith communities. But what form could this increased cooperation take? And above all, what motivated this invitation from so many Muslim scholars to the world's Christian leaders? Questions I put to a Catholic expert on the Muslim world. Archbishop Michael Fitzgerald is Apostolic Nuncio to Egypt and to the Cairo-based Arab League, as well as former head of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue.
Well, I think it is an interesting follow-up to the previous letter that was sent by various Muslim scholars and Muslim leaders who had been meeting in Amman at a meeting organized by the Ahlul Bayt Institute for Islamic Thought. That was the letter of, I think, 36 leading scholars after Regensburg. And this, with a larger number of people signing, seems to be a follow-up of that, and it's an interesting move.
As you say, it's a large number. I think 138 scholars and Muslim leaders have signed up to this. What do you think are the key factors that have led to a common declaration like this from so many Muslim leaders in so many countries around the world?
Well, the interesting feature is that this Ahlul Bayt Institute, which was set up originally by Prince Hassan of Jordan, had been in dialogue with Christians, with the Anglicans first of all, and then with the Orthodox, and then with the Roman Catholic Church. And I myself have taken part in a number of meetings with them. But with the change when King Abdullah came to the throne in Jordan, the direction of this Ahlul Bayt Institute changed slightly and was trying to bring about a greater unity within the Islamic world, and was not really concerned with dialogue with Christians. So that is why I think it explains the presence or the the signatures, at least, of quite a number of leading Muslims from all different parts of the world. I think what we could say is that this is an interesting initiative. I hope it'll be followed up from the Muslim side by perhaps an invitation to meet. You know, that they will take a concrete step, not just leave it like that as a sort of invitation to a common word, but actually take steps to bring Christians and Muslims together.
As you mentioned, this comes a year after the previous letter from Muslim scholars, and it comes, of course, a year after Pope Benedict's address to Muslim leaders following his Regensburg lecture. How significant is this, do you think? How much did last year's events influence, perhaps, this letter?
I would think that it does have an influence, though this is not mentioned anywhere. I don't see it mentioned, but you know, it's always there in people's minds. That is why there is an appeal to Pope Benedict himself. So, yes, Regensburg is always there. But what I would like to say is that the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue has, you know, on the 28th of September released its message for the end of Ramadan, which is entitled Christians and Muslims Called to Promote a Culture of Peace. So, you know, we're on the same wavelength there, I think, because this call from the Muslims is also saying how important it is for Christians and Muslims to work together for peace. The difficulty is that it's the political leaders who have the power and authority and not the religious leaders. So we can be a moral voice in the world, and we can be a stronger moral voice if we are speaking together, but we have to persuade the political leaders also to take into account what the religious leaders are saying.
Given the large number of Muslim leaders signing this document, though, would you say this in some way must represent a broader voice from the political leaders in the Muslim world or not?
I don't think it's representing the political leaders. Of course, when there are muftis involved, the muftis are appointed usually by the political powers, so they are government appointees. But the article refers to the, you know, the mufti of a leader of millions of Muslims. Well, that isn't actually so. I wouldn't say that all the Muslims in Egypt look up to the mufti as their leader. Yes, the mufti gives pronouncements, but there's a whole war of pronouncements going on in the Islamic world, and there are different voices coming up. So it is an important step, I think, but we shouldn't exaggerate its importance. I would hope that it would be followed up by Christians and Muslims maybe together organizing meetings, different meetings, and the message from the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue emphasized also the responsibility to give this culture of peace to the youth. And I think that is important too. You see, you know, you see a lot of violence in the world, which is actually perpetrated by young people who are being led by others, of course. And this would be a counter move to that, I would think.
Presumably a very significant counter move, because such a unity of voice from Muslim leaders therefore makes it harder for extremist voices to try and represent many people, many Muslims in the different countries.
One would hope that that would be the case, yes, and that this statement will be given large publicity, and I would hope that the statement is not only in English, but is also being published in Arabic and will be spread around the Arabic-speaking world.
My thanks there to Archbishop Michael Fitzgerald, Apostolic Nuncio to Egypt and the Arab League.